Hey everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is David Scheel.
Hi, everyone.
I'm a naturopath, kinesiologist, and naturopathic counselor. David is a holistic counselor and family
Therapist.
therapist and pathological envy.
Pathological envy.
You've been doing a little bit of a deep dive into this.
Well, not only pathological envy, but also sadism. And the reason for those two is because when you look at the dark triad personalities, there are a couple of the subtypes, or what would you call it, extensions in a way, because they're a foundation of, because we can all be a little bit envious and we can all be a little bit hurtful sometime.
It'd be hard not to be human, not to have envy sometime of something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because like I say to my clients, say angry, people go, "Oh no, I don't do anger." And then you go, why were you suppressed? Obviously it's not great to be outwardly envious because it's not good for our own soul, but every
So,
emotion is a normal emotion.
but when we're talking about these categories, yeah, so we have normal emotions and they're on the normal spectrum. If they're in
In
sadism, not
balance.
very much, but sometimes you'll be cruel to be kind. So
But that's not really being sadistic.
that's not really being sadistic, because what's actually going on is the normal variations, okay? Because there's two things happening. One thing's happening to the victim of these things, and the other thing, the person doing them, the perpetrator. And the difficulty in what happens is that, like drug addiction, we have a tolerance for things. So just say any drug somebody's experimenting with, whether it even be something like coffee, because it doesn't matter what psychoactive substance we look at, if we take more of it, we build a tolerance because the neuroreceptors that are activated by that substance, they grow.
We can increase the number. So the neuroreceptors on the cell walls,
So we increase the number, and therefore you need a bigger hit all the time to get the new feel good. And so envy and sadism have the same types of things in them, that if we do them more often, we'll need a more intense version of it next time to feel the same satisfaction, believe it, yeah, satisfaction or relief. And the way that these things work, we've got, we can use dopamine as a good example, because both of these things,
Everyone's heard of dopamine.
everyone's heard of dopamine, but both of these things use different types of reward systems in the brain to give a
So
sense of
sadism
satisfaction.
and pathological envy.
Yeah, pathological sadism and pathological envy.
Oh, nicely put.
Right, and the reason they're pathological because they're beyond the normal, what everyday people feel, because sometimes these things come up, and if we're self-aware, we will avoid them so that our tolerance doesn't increase. And what's interesting about them is that is that envy feeds sadism. Now, let's just wait for this a minute. So, for example, how they work is that if somebody's a sadistic person, they enjoy watching people suffer in a way, right? And so what happens is when they do that thing that hurts somebody, and they often have a desire at the end. So they just want the thing, so they hurt someone to get the thing. The same as a lot of crime type things. So really, they just got the goal, and to get the goal, they'll hurt someone in the way. But the problem is that that's actually an addictive process, because when they hurt somebody, they get a massive dopamine rush, right? And there's a couple of parts to it, because people with these pathological complaints, they've got a lower baseline of these neurochemicals anyway. And so they, and you can see in the psychological literature that people who come from very intense stress childhood environments, they become either numb, and they need something really intense to pull them out of the numbness. So it starts off as a defense mechanism, right? But the problem is that over time, you need a bigger and bigger amount to get the enjoyment out of that. I know it's a bit, for normal people, it's hard to understand, but in counseling, mainly you deal with the victims of these type of things rather than the
No, it's
person
very
who does.
rarely the sadist coming in and saying, "I don't want to be a sadist anymore."
The people in the dark triad, they don't often come into counseling unless they're mandated. But so to understand the way it works is really important because, so, but with envy, it's the opposite of that.
Yes.
So what happens is they have an experience of when they see somebody who's better at something than them,
Yes.
they feel envious and an intense amount of pain comes over them.
Right.
Like it's actually physiological pain after it's developed to, a stage like that. They're like really upset. And then when they put the person down, right? When they put that person down, they put them in their place as a thing that, they get
Yeah.
put in their place. Then they get a huge rush of dopamine, right? They get a massive duff, the opposite of what you'd expect. So when they relieve the pain, they get a huge dopamine rush. And there's different parts of the brain. It's not only the dopamine reward system, there's other complexes in the reward system. And because the reward system's activated, there's a desire to repeat the behavior.
Yes.
And so how the sadism feels fits in with the envy is that the envy feeds the sadism because to put somebody down, you've got to be a little bit cruel, right? Because sadism is essentially cruelty.
Yeah.
And so therefore, the more you engage the envy and allow it to take place and allow to put somebody down, make them feel uncomfortable. Because the problem is that that gives great relief. Then you get a dopamine hit by putting the person down, and then you can enjoy that. And then the sadistic model comes in while you're actually enjoying them crumble,
Yeah.
right? And then so you end up with a dual reward circuit pleasure by first putting the person down and then sitting back enjoying them crumble. Because, because they'll usually might have one or two targets or victims, and so they go in there. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, anyway, that's a basic explanation. Does that make enough sense?
Yeah. I always think of it from the map of consciousness perspective. So these people who I imagine turn into the dark triad, people, they have very low consciousness, so they're, for whatever reason, they've had a lot of shame or blame or guilt or anger or something going on in their childhood. So they don't have a very high vibration. And so I would imagine that when people are just, light and love or fun or, successful, because sometimes it's success that makes people envious, then they want to bring them back down to the, because everyone vibrates at a frequency. So when you're around someone with a higher vibration, it doesn't feel very nice.
No, well, that's right.
It's like when we didn't drink for 20 years and everyone wants you to drink alcohol,
Right.
so.
Because I don't drink, and that's although they get used to it after a while. Again, no, I don't drink.
Yeah. But it's
But
that sort of thing
I'm also
because
60,
but
so.
then people also want to justify it. Oh, I just have a drink to do this. And it's almost like they're trying to justify to the person who doesn't do what they do,
Oh,
which is sort of
yeah,
a
that's
real to make
interesting.
themselves feel a bit better about what they are doing. And I, obviously we started drinking again 17 years ago. So it's but that often But underneath, there's often those self-worth, self-esteem issues underneath these people as well. They don't, and I was thinking before, it's sort of almost like they don't have a core sense of, like they don't have a hierarchy of what's most important to them. Sometimes they've never actually thought about it.
Right. Well, often because there'll be a background too. Often they come from families where that's the norm, say.
Yeah.
They might hear their parents and one of the kids goes, "That's really great," and the parent will just put it down. Do you know what I mean? Or even great about something. Wow, I really like that. Nah. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so that can happen from childhood. It beca
Yeah.
can become in attachment theory what they call a misconstrual about reality
Yeah.
from their attachment figure. And so they'll go into life with this belief that doing well isn't good, and only
Yeah.
the people who do that, they're stuck hard, try hard, they're trying to prove themselves. They're the type of statements they make to justify their envious position and putting that person down.
Yeah.
And it's an extraordinary thing.
Yeah.
And so I was deep diving that in the last week.
Yeah.
Very, very satisfying from an intellectual point of view, although and very helpful too,
Yes.
because the other thing is that these types of people attract certain types of victims or targets, right? So the person who's victimized is usually they don't have enough righteous indignation to actually do something about it.
Right.
They're not strong enough to go, no, that's no, we're not doing that. Instead, they let it happen and just let it wash over.
Yeah.
Because also from a low self-esteem point of view.
Yes.
So, like you said in the beginning, from both sides of these, there'll be shame fueled. Do you know what I mean? Or low
Yeah.
self-esteem fueled.
Yeah, that's
And
right.
you can see both positions, whether you're a victim or a aggressor in this case, it's like both positions will come from a lower thing. Because anyone who's well differentiated and balanced with interdependent relationships will go, no, I'm not doing that. No, you keep that over there.
Yes.
And maybe you stay over there too. And if you don't stop doing that, you'll be
Yeah.
passionately exiled.
Well, I was chatting to a person this morning, and part of me, the whole divorce thing, the whole divorce thing, the whole point about getting a divorce is not necessarily about everyone being happy, because happiness doesn't necessarily magically appear after divorce, but it
No,
does make a
it
hell of a lot of
definitely
people.
doesn't for the kids either.
Yeah, and it makes a hell of a lot of people wealthy, except for the people getting the divorce. So the whole
Oh.
thing is just this crazy thing where all of a sudden there's two rents, there's two incomes,
Yeah,
there's, two houses, there's two,
isn't
it's.
that really interesting? So in the way you could say all the people who benefit from divorce
Oh,
intentionally,
none of them are in there.
they're a bit sadistic because they're like a lawyer, for example.
Well, I remember during COVID, look, sorry, there was this young chicky babe in Hollywood somewhere. She was just this young, beautiful lawyer. And she actually had a huge smile on her face saying, oh, this is the best time for me. I'm getting six times my normal divorce rate
Oh, because the
because of
rates went up.
COVID.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because it was so traumatic for people to have to stay in their houses. But she was happy.
And they didn't have their places where they could go out and
It was a
recreate.
little clip that Russell Brand was showing, and he was like, who would actually be celebrating the fact that they're getting six times the amount of divorce? Anyway, yeah, lawyers.
Well, just saying that if the problem with lawyers, they could easily get into the trap of pathological envy or sadism just by their work.
You'd have to,
And
because you'd have to have that boundary up to be able to do that, the same way surgeons must have
but
to do
that,
that in all sorts of.
yeah, and the boundary is to be have enough righteous indignation
Yes.
to allow, not allow yourself to get caught up in that. And you might choose a different type of law that isn't so aggressive,
Yes.
because sadly the divorce thing is like it is true that every aspect of society benefits from it. It creates government jobs that don't need to be there. Like if you reduced it by 50% divorce, you think about every family that divorces, you've got double the bills, you've got all this transport in between that didn't used to exist.
There's still a
Massive.
97% success rate with marriage in India. Used to be 97% success rate.
Oh no, it's not that much. But they've become westernized and that's increasing.
Yeah, that was about 30 years ago.
Yeah, but generally the more traditional, but the West was like that too. It wasn't until It was no-fault divorce laws that came in 73 or 74 in Australia. So we've had 50 years, and then the divorce courts in Australia had like 18-month waiting lists to apply, because after they made the no-fault divorce laws, there were so many cases. I think it was 18 months. It might have been 2.5 years. I can't remember, but there was this big backlog where everyone just threw the towel in. And ever since then, we've had like a 40% divorce rate, which was about 10 before, and that's gone up to 50, and depending on how they estimate, 60%. And that can't be because of just people are unhappy. There's something else going on that
Absolutely.
it's, and even though there's been so much research on childhood trauma and on relationship management, what I do know is that when I was studying counselling, there was an ABC report that came out, because the study came out that found that counselors without
Therapy.
family therapy understanding and qualifications, they were breaking marriages instead of fixing them.
I've seen it so many
And
times over the years
just
where people have gone to counselors and the most bizarre stuff is being told to people.
that's
So
right.
one of my
They
40
turn them
year.
into victims, where really, if two people, unless somebody's a pathological something, there's two people fighting usually, and two people keep up the fight. And so in family therapy, there's something called circular causality. So the therapist sits there and doesn't blame anyone, but rather works on where generationally or
Sorry, I laugh because really a counselor shouldn't be blaming anyone.
well, when you have individual clients, you'll make your client into the victim often. Do you know what I mean? Because you unless the other person's in the room, you can't hear what they're saying. You're only hearing one side of a story. And so, but in family counseling, everyone can come in. You can bring the whole family in if you want, because it's like, because in family therapy, there's no one person isn't the basic unit. The family system's the basic unit. And so to take one person out and just work with them and not the others, because even when you get one person in family therapy, you're trying to nurture the whole system and bring it back to balance, which is really effective, Yeah, but the individual counseling thing, not that I'm being critical, that's what came up in the study. You can find that on the ABC. There was an article on it. I can't remember the guy. Anyway.
ABC in Australia.
Yeah, and that was it. It was about 19 to 2020 or 2021.
So
And
that
not saying all individual counselors, I'm not blaming any counselors or anything like that. That was the trend that they saw happening.
And like we started off mentioning dopamine, so maybe we should go through a couple of the major neurotransmitters and sort of talk a little bit about what sort of personality types they might be linked in with.
What
So,
do you
for
mean?
example, dopamine is about comparison. So, there's a part of the brain that actually constantly is checking us out compared to everyone else around us. Because going back 200 years ago, everyone lived in, small towns and small places. You probably knew the person you were going to marry from the time you were 3 years old, because there was only, 30 to 100 people in a small town. So there's a part of our brain that is very deliberately designed to make sure we have a social ranking. Because social ranking is about finding out whether, oh, Joe Bloggs across the road, oh, he's a bit of a good looker, he might make me some good looking kids. So part of that nervous system wants to hook up with Joe Bloggs so that you end up with the best possible thing. He can shoe a horse, he can chop the thing, he's got some gear behind him, he's got a house, he's got some running water, man. So it's about fun.
You're talking about 19th century
I
couples.
said 200 years ago.
Oh, really? You did. Oh, sorry, I
So,
missed that
and
one.
it's about that social tracking. It's about that social tracking. So dopamine is about social tracking. And actually, there's a really funny monkey
One one
story.
one part of dopamine. Dopamine
Yes.
does a hell of a
No,
lot for
that's
you.
just one part, but in relation to social sort of connections and stuff. But there's a funny monkey story that I've probably told you before. So what they did was got these little receptors on all these monkey brains somehow, and there was about 30 monkeys in this little family, and there was the king monkey up the top, and he was the biggest and the best, and he knew how to, wake up the rest of the tribe. Then there were the little ding dongs down the bottom who knew that they had low social scoring, but it was the ones in the middle that could either go up if they pushed their way or down if they didn't behave themselves that had the most cortisol.
Yeah, Robert Sapolsky did that study.
Right, so I've always joked that I'm the middle monkey syndrome. So, because I'm a middle child, I sort of always joke that I'm the, because the first kid in the family knows that they're the, top dog as a
They're the
general
champion.
rule, and the last one knows that they're daddy's favorite. Everyone else in the bit. I wonder how it works with single kids these days. Anyway,
Well,
so
isn't that interesting? So in
they get everything
No,
probably.
it's not like what you think. So in, because I was studying this, in families where you've got five kids, in a dysregulated family system, where too much, it's not only narcissistic, it's too much anxiety, maybe a drug dependent, alcoholic parent. But basically what happens when you got five kids or four kids, you'll have a golden child, you'll have a scapegoat, and the other roles that come about are there, like the parentified child or the lost child. Anyway, there's a list of roles that in it's when the relationships aren't interdependent, right? It's called differentiation. So everyone's at the right distance, so they go in and help. Except when they're all fused together, you end up with these roles. And so the golden child you counsel in this way, the scapegoat, which is usually the person who'll come into counseling, you counsel them this way. But it said with single child families, that child might cycle through golden child. It cycles through them. And even sometimes you'll find with people in a dysregulated family system that one child will end up cycling through three. Sometimes they'll be the scapegoat, sometimes they'll be the parentified child, especially if they're the eldest. And they can also cycle through them. But with only children, they can cycle through a whole range of them.
Right.
If the family anxiety, they call it, the dysregulation isn't fixed once and
Yeah.
for all. No, that's
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
We're all
So
monkeys.
thank you.
We're
We are all
all
monkeys.
monkeys on the
We're
inside.
somewhere on the hierarchy of
They were
monkeys.
baboons, and then you got the
Those damn missing links. Anyway,
bonobos.
so the dopamine, it helps to drive the social ranking and status. When it's dysregulated, that's why it's hypersensitive to other people's success.
Yes, that's exactly what it says in the
So
literature.
the low baseline dopamine equals chronic feelings of not feeling good enough.
And so that's actually a physiological thing.
Yeah,
So
100%.
some people can end up like that from family trauma and neglect, but then some people are just born with less.
Yeah.
They're born
Well,
with
less
low.
receptors.
Yes,
You
I
know, so
guess
it
so,
could be a
yeah.
receptor thing. And also, don't forget those little parts of the brain. There's some parts of the brain, the anterior cingulate gyrus, the orbitofrontal cortex, and the subcostal gyrus, where there's up to seven generations of how we cope under stress. And because seven generations ago is like 200 years ago, what was going on the planet 200 years ago?
Right.
A whole bunch of stuff. So,
Okay.
a
Because
bit
there's that
harder.
aspect. There's another aspect too that, because I was looking it up in detail and looking at the studies. There's a so A, it's addictive, and B,
Dopamine, yep.
dopamine's yeah, no, but because the dopamine's addictive, because it's a reward thing, it makes you feel good when you do these things.
So therefore the behavior is?
Addictive. So
Mm,
these
yeah.
behaviors are addictive. And they're addictive because of the dopamine supply, just like a drug.
Yeah.
And so the problem is that anyone can fall into that trap. Another thing that I found out was they're also contagions.
Yes.
So if someone you like is doing those things, you might just pick it up. And
Yeah.
by least, and the other thing is that people in the dark triad, they're very rational.
Yeah.
Like they don't have feelings like everyone else all the time, so it's always very intellectual, which is how it occurs,
Yeah.
because the empathy is reversed in a way to normal people, and so they have cognitive empathy, which is very thought. So people like them because they're often really rational and just get through things,
Yeah.
whereas they because they don't have feelings in the way, and so oh that seems very logical. Yeah, I'll do it like that,
Yes.
and yeah, I've met counselors like that too. And so I've met one that was like, they just, anyway, I won't go into the details of that, but it's something that's contagious. So it can spread from one person to another because it's so intellectual. You think, oh, that makes so much sense.
Yes.
But then when you go to do it, everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then if you keep doing it, it becomes an addictive thing.
Yeah.
And,
Well, that's where cortisol comes in too, you know. So everyone knows about cortisol because it's the only hormone that keeps getting higher and higher and higher as we get older because it's to do with pain and inflammation as well as stress. So all the other hormones can go up and down, but stress is the only one that's consistently. So chronic cortisol makes the brain hypervigilant. So the brain is
Yes.
constantly on the lookout for the next thing to go wrong. It
So this
makes
is
us,
for the people who are targets of
this
it.
is for everyone. Because even the people being in the dark triad,
Actually.
they're hypervigilant because they're waiting for the opportunity to
Now,
pounce.
let me, this is a variation that you'll be amazed at. So with the saddest particularly, which you need a bit of sadistic to put someone down, right?
Yep.
What happens when they do that, when they sadistically harm someone, they experience an extreme drop in cortisol,
Yep.
right? You got to get this. So they get a high dopamine rush and their cortisol just goes to nothing.
Bottoms out.
So they feel extremely calm and
Oh,
high
while they're being
after,
total
while
putts.
and after. And that's why,
Right.
and that's incredible. So their cortisol plummets. So they just feel peaceful and calm. The other person's lying on the floor, calming, and they're kind of just
Dying,
relieved.
you mean?
Yeah, well,
Well,
whatever.
no, you said lying on the floor, calming.
Oh, I meant to say crying.
Yeah,
Oh,
crying.
did you say
No,
dying?
you said calming, and
Right.
I said
Oh,
dying.
we're talking about. We're getting to the extremes now.
But
Isn't
yeah, so the chronic cortisol for the victims
that
then, it
ironic?
can make people hypervigilant, defensive, and prone to social threat misinterpretation.
That's
So
right.
they misinterpret stuff because their nervous system is just expecting to be bullied and
That's
picked
right.
on
If they're in
all
a
the
schism,
time.
and so therefore, somebody who's an ongoing victim of a person in their family system or
Yeah.
social group who's pathologically envious and therefore sadistic over time, The victims of it become so schismed that they can go out in the world and get picked on forever because they end up with this imprint.
So the envy becomes a fight or flight reaction. Anyway, poor people. Then there's norepinephrine. So this one is where it heightens our emotional intensity and makes the envy feel urgent or obsessive or
Right.
intrusive.
You
So
don't
therefore, you can't
get.
put up with the envy very well.
Oh, good on you for bringing that up. That was in there too.
And then oxytocin. Don't
Okay,
you love oxytocin?
so what's going on with the oxytocin?
So the paradox is that low oxytocin means low trust, low bonding, and
So
high
this
suspicion.
is for the envious, this for the dark triad people or the victims?
Well, it depends. Because this makes other people, well, probably for the dark triad, because this makes other people's success feel unsafe rather than inspiring.
Right. Because then another feature of this type of people is that their empathy is reversed. It's bottomed out. And so they would, I don't know what their oxy, but they'd end up, the victims of that would have low oxytocin over time
Oh,
again. Because they
absolutely.
don't give that to them. They give that to them
Can you
intermittently.
feel,
Every now and then we'll give you a bit of niceness so that
like
you
one of the
start.
lovely things during kinesiology I get people to do, I am love, I am loved, I am lovable. We need, because some people, they don't
That's right.
feel loved. They don't feel
That's
lovable.
right. And so what happens with that? This is really interesting. So when I was studying this, I went through like Aristotle in classic Greek.
As you do.
They have this thing called the golden mean. And on one side of it is a deficiency and the other side's too much. Right? So if you've got too much
Yin and
envy,
yang.
or too much what's the sadism, on the other side is a type of weakness. And what the weakness is hard to describe. So in the middle, like I was just going through it, in the middle is the people who are victims of these people, they don't have enough moral indignation to go, right, I can't stand that and I'm going to do something about it. Because they've been weakened and they may have grown up like that they don't have enough self-love, like you say, or self-respect to stand up and say, no, you're not going to do that anymore. But instead, they're weakened in a way that they let it happen.
And I was thinking the
Now
problem as
that's the
well,
two poles.
but part of the problem can be that because that, like you mentioned earlier on, the dark triad has chosen their victims or their partners
Because it's a
specifically. So
vulnerability.
therefore, if I'm the sort of person, like just say you're the bully and I'm the bullied, and in our relationship I just allow it and allow it and allow it, at if at some stage in my life I go, screw that, I'm not putting up with it anymore, they end up losing people in their life. So they don't
Okay.
want to,
No, yeah, that's
victims,
fine.
they don't want to lose more people because they've often come from the
I
environment,
think
like you
that.
said. They don't want to lose more people even though they're surrounded accidentally by victims. No, by the dark triad people. So
Right.
they're victims, and every time they stand up, they lose another friend, or
Oh,
they
yeah.
lose a
Because,
partner, or they lose a counselor, or they lose a,
and the reason they're in a desperate situation, because if you're involved with dark personality people, or even, not even that evil, but I don't want to use the word evil, but even
Some
mid,
people are freaking evil.
some, yeah, but some people are just mid. What happens is that the people who are the victims of it, they become isolated. And they already don't have many people over years and years of it. And so losing someone's like really terrible. So they don't want to lose it. That's a good point.
No, that's true. So, and then the last one's GABA. So low GABA. So GABA is the calming nutrient for the brain. So when we've got low GABA, we've got poor emotional inhibition, and we've got an inability to downregulate our envy impulses.
Right.
So, there's a few things that we've got, like, Carmex and
Oh, well, that's
TriGPP and all sorts
interesting.
of things that calm the neuroexcitatory neurons in the brain. And as GABA rises, it calms the neuroexciters in the brain.
Right, that's interesting.
So GABA is another one. So all of these neurotransmitters are affected, whether we are the dark triad personality or whether we're the victims.
Yeah,
You
that's
know,
right.
every single one is affected in different ways. So I think, a lot
Yeah,
of it.
envy. Yeah, and the interesting thing, like I've studied this in quite detail and I've been refreshing it over the weekend. I've just been trying to nut it out perfectly. Once you learn it, you can't unsee it and you start to see it around and in yourself. Like, because what they're doing is projecting. you know what I mean? So you've got some uncomfortable feeling, so you project it on the other person.
Yes.
Like projection uses, you know, what the envy is. They feel so terrible about someone else, so put them down. But an example might be like you're just driving to work or something, and somebody's being annoying, and so you'll go, instead of going, I need to relax, you go, oh, that person should get off the road.
Yeah,
Like
righto.
that's a simple kind of envious projection. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Maybe there's
Well, it's
something.
funny. Like I said, I got the worst comment I've ever had on social media recently. And I thought, he put four pretty interesting words together to make me feel as bad as I can possibly feel. Whereas for some reason, it didn't work.
Oh.
I'm not going to say what it was because it's embarrassing. But
Okay.
and plus, we'd get thrown off for having those words on here. It was pretty
Oh,
bad.
okay.
Yeah. So, nonetheless, I
That's
go,
so
oh,
rude.
well, yeah.
Society's a bit polarized at the moment, so people are a little bit more intense than usual.
Oh dear, I don't see it disappearing anytime soon.
Well,
Oh goodness. Anyway.
I actually did. I was like playing with AI and working out what type of people would socially create the social improvements, but that's a long essay.
Yeah,
Oh, what
exactly.
did you? Oh, okay.
So, you know, I think most importantly, we need to sort of think about how to reset all of this.
Yeah,
You
good.
know, so how do we do a neurochemical reset? We're going to be so boring. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff. We've got to increase the serotonin by sunshine and exercise and tryptophan-rich foods and consistent sleep timing. It's funny, the other day
Is
I was
this for the
watching,
people with the
it doesn't matter. It's about, you know,
right?
all of these neurotransmitters need balancing, whether you're the victim or the, you
That's
know,
true.
other person. So getting that sleep right. Tryptophan is funny because I was watching there's a TV show called Newsroom and it's pretty funny with Jeff Daniel. Anyway, he goes into his psych and the psych says, so would you know, and he didn't want to be there for his psych appointment, Jeff Daniel. Anyway, so he sits down and the guy says, so what'd you have for dinner last night? He said, I had a bacon and egg, blah, 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 blah. And then he continues to talk for an extra hour and then he gives him the script for sleep. And then he says, oh, and by the way, stop that bacon egg roll before bed. Bacon's full of tryptophan. It'll stop you sleeping. So anyway, so tryptophan-rich foods before sleep make you stay awake.
Right.
So, you know. Watch them. Anyway, just funny. So we've got to, yeah. So all those things that increase serotonin, and it is. It's like hanging out with friends and laughter and watching fun stuff and, you know, doing all the good things that we know make us feel good. Hugs. You know, and then reduce those cortisol spikes. Cortisol. It lowers the envy reactivity. So your area of expertise, you know, the breathing processes, we've just got to get used to them. We've got to, whenever we're feeling anxious, whenever we're feeling stressed, just slow the breathing. Cold exposure is really good. One of my clients keeps,
I'm just looking at this list
she,
and I'm going, yeah, I do all of
yeah,
that.
exactly. So cold exposure.
That's a kind of pretty good imprint of.
Yeah, so cold exposure, where she puts all her empty milk bottles, fills them up with water, puts them in the freezer, chucks that in the bathtub.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that she can have a quick cold bath and she's aiming at being in there for longer and longer and longer. So far, it's about 23 seconds she can cope with.
Right.
So that's pretty
I've got a
fun.
friend with an ice bath in a big
Wow.
freezer.
Well, I've done it. We did it in the Andes Mountains, Jay and I, when we were over there. It was bloody
Yeah,
awesome.
my little boy went over to my friend's place and he jumped in the ice bath a
Yeah,
few weeks
right.
ago.
It's amazing. Magnesium glycinate. So the magnesium glycinate is one that really calms the brain. I'll
Different
be.
type, different types of magnesium.
Oh, lots of citrate's not quite so good. Three and eight's also really good. Magnesium three and eight, it also helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. I'm loving, you know, things like NeuroCalm, sleep, calm it down. There's lots of magnesium combinations like MetaRelax, Calmex, Tri-GLP calms it. So lots of things are out there that calm it down.
Oh, no.
But yeah, reducing caffeine to 10 to 14 days and see whether or not that calms the caffeine, calms the cortisol spikes. And you can just tell whether your heart stops pumping all day, every
Well,
day.
if you've got a blood pressure machine, you can measure everything. I gave up caffeine and my blood pressure went down average 15, 20 points,
So do
something.
your moods. No, only joking. Just joking. And then
I'm getting
rebalancing.
ridiculous.
Yeah,
I can cycle between all sorts of things.
Rebalancing dopamine, you know, so, you know, limiting social media, increasing deep work, you know, so we've really got to work on ourselves to sort a lot of this shit out and replacing comparisons with competence building tasks. You know how with your process that you go through with people.
with working with life roles,
Life roles,
increasing the diversity of life.
increasing your life roles and then looking at yourself and going, okay, well, I'm envious of this person over here because blah, blah, blah. Well, put it in your damn life roles. Work out where you are from 1 to 10.
Yeah, I don't
Then
know
you
whether
aim to
I don't
improve
know whether they
it.
agree with that, but with food and with life roles, diversity is our strength.
Yes.
I don't agree with the other way it's used, but there's some positive aspects there.
Yes. So all of those things are helping to, just calm and boost and, get our neurotransmitters a bit more balanced.
Yeah, what's this?
So there's also some practical identity interventions. So each night, for example, self-attribution. So each night writing down 3 things you did well and why they happened because of you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So this rewires the brain to recognize internal agency because sometimes people give themselves absolutely no kudos.
No, because self-love is on the decline.
And I think that again with parenting, because, and I'm not picking on parents, I know everyone has to do what they have to do these
Most
days.
people are trying their best,
Most people are trying their best. I've had this darling little
And
chicky baby.
a lot of things are generational, even when you're trying your best.
Yeah.
The same thing, way of managing anxiety, or it's come down from several generations. And
Yeah.
so it's a little bit hard to move sometimes, but these are really good.
Yeah. So another one's about competence stacking.
Competence.
So building micro skills in one domain for 30 days. There's that thing, if you learn something new for 3 to 5 minutes a day and you do that every day for 30 days, you will know more than most people in your world.
Yes, that's
And
true.
it's even better if you do it for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So it's sort of that's, yeah, this micro skill stacking. So that you start to go, and then you don't even realize when you're putting it into practice. And whatever it is, like David always talks about psych learning. What's that term you use?
It's called
Psycho training,
psychoeducation.
psycho education, which I think is hilarious,
The
talking about
psych,
the
yes,
dark
psych.
triad. Talking about the dark triad, we're talking about the psych training. Yeah. So
It's
by
actually called psychoeducation. And it's
psychoeducation.
actually, like we've got different types of modalities we use in counseling, like family therapy, cognitive behave, ACT therapy, and psychoeducation is one of them.
Yeah.
Because when people go through things, they want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you train them in what the likely outcomes are and
Yeah.
while you're going, because you do that all the time, because some herbs will make your stomach upset. And you want to tell people that because then they know, well, it's working.
Well, it's
Rather
even
than.
like with Aenya, because every man and his dog has got out there these super combos with ashwagandha in it.
Yeah,
Now, it's a really beautiful herb.
they weren't there a year ago, and now they're in all the health food shops.
Yes, they have been for 30 years.
No, I know it's
They've
been.
always,
No, in the mainstream. It
well,
wasn't on the supermarket shelf a year ago.
okay, I've got no idea. I've never bought anything
No,
like
but
that from
I
a
keep an eye on that
supermarket.
sort of thing.
So, but like it's full of oxalates. So if someone has oxalate sensitivity, they might have an issue with it. I have two clients who are very allergic to withania, which is ashwagandha. So, everyone is an individual. So anyway, so learning, micro skill learning, and learning what's good for you. Like if you, like David's sort of talking about, if you go in and go, okay, I'm going to look up, this is one of my health issues. I'm going to go and watch 5 videos this month. To do with my particular health, you will start to learn. Some of it, your bullshit detector will go, nope, that's a load of crap, but this fits my world, my belief. So we've got to learn about stuff so that we can get better at doing everything.
Well, the good thing is that learning's so available these days, like
Yeah.
that you can get a tutorial on anything. If you want to learn to play the guitar, it's the like once upon a time you had to go to the shop, buy a book, it had one technique you wanted, it didn't have the others. Or, if you're learning to play it, you buy a song book and there are two songs you like. Now it's all on the internet available.
Or
There's
$30 for one song handout. Anyway, yes,
Yeah, but
all of
you
that
used to have
stuff.
to pay for that. Now you can get unlimited guitar tutorials
Yeah,
online,
it is. It's
and then
amazing.
you can ask AI too, something technical. What if
Yeah.
I do this? It's learning can be so efficient now that,
Yeah.
you can become good at things really quickly, and then you can, if you really like it, you can go to uni or study in a
Yeah.
more formal way.
So the other thing I just wanted to finish with was so these re identity reconstruction. So the first one was self attribution training.
That's
So
awesome.
writing down what you did and why it did well because of you. The second one, the micro skill building. But the third one,
Competent stacking.
yeah, competence stacking. The third one is reframing others' success as information.
Okay,
If it's
that's a
information, it's less.
reframing is one of the best
Yeah, but
counseling
it's,
techniques.
yeah, so it's less traumatic if it's just information. So instead of they're ahead of me, you shift to their success shows what's possible. What is possible
Isn't
out
that
there?
interesting? Because the normal differentiated person, when they see someone successful, it makes them joyful.
Yeah.
And it gives you a dopamine hit by, because in the Yoga Sutra, that's called mudita, celebrating somebody else's success.
Yeah.
But they've got that reversed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, again, they want to bring that frequency down to their frequency.
So straight, right. That's
You know, so
interesting.
because they feel comfortable at their own frequency.
Right, and also because if it's in your family system or friend group, it shows what's possible in my environment.
Yeah.
The people around me are achieving that, so it shouldn't be envy. It should be like, oh, we can do this.
Yeah.
You know,
Exactly. Like everyone in
it's
my.
available to us.
Yeah, so David, when he started studying counseling 10 years ago, whenever it was, everyone said, you are designed for this.
Me,
Yeah,
right.
everyone knew that this is what your brain's designed for. There
Okay.
was no one who said, what a stupid
Oh,
bloody thing
that's
for David
interesting.
to
Right.
study. No, everyone was like, oh God, about freaking time. You know, so it was a really nice.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. I didn't know that particularly.
Oh, didn't you?
Well, I'm not where you are. I didn't hear. I only heard what people told me directly.
Yeah, people tell me I'm a pain in the ass. No, they don't really. But yeah.
Yeah, so reframing is always a good thing,
Yeah.
you
So
know.
they're just a few really nice things to help to replace the fragile ego, because dark triads, they've got fragile egos. They don't even realize it, you know, which is so because that because of whatever it was that created that need to
They're
control in their world.
very
Yeah.
sensitive to any criticism. And
Yeah.
that's the nature of the narcissism,
Yeah.
especially narcissism. You know, not saying pathological narcissism, but people with too many narcissistic traits, very, very vulnerable to
Yeah.
criticism.
So,
So it's hard to correct them with it until they can self-reflect.
yeah.
Maybe
So,
that's a good reframe. Instead of judging others, I'm going to move to reflecting on myself.
right. Yes.
Because the self-reflection is the thing that is often lacking in all that type of personality.
Yeah.
Because normal people will go, oh, they'll review themselves and go, maybe that didn't make everyone feel good. So what can I do to make everyone feel a bit better?
Yeah,
Because
exactly.
really, I can see everyone's a bit annoyed at my judgmental envy.
Yeah. And envy can.
And they don't like being whacked down either.
Yeah. From the map of consciousness perspective, so 200 is neutral, so it goes from 0 to 1,000, and all the higher levels are, you know, love and affirming and enlightenment and all that sort of thing, but 200 is about neutral. And envy can't thrive in an environment above 200. So
Oh,
these
okay.
people with these classic dark triad, pathological envy, pathological states, they've got such a low vibration that, you know, as we've been talking about, they want to bring it down.
They want to
So,
bring other. Oh, this is a good point, actually. So they want to bring others down to their low vibration, which is a bit strange, but that's what you're saying here.
yeah, exactly. So by saying things that help to get you back into a higher state, like radical acceptance for example, is a 350. I am exactly where I need to be for my path.
Radical acceptance is something worth looking up. It's a really
And this
interesting thing.
dissolves the scarcity mindset that fuels envy.
Yeah, right, that's great.
And then courage micro acts that we were talking about before, doing one small thing daily that expands your capacity.
Right, because you need courage to actually, you know, stand up. Do you know
Yeah.
what I mean? Because empathy should be, I can't stand seeing these envious people hurt other
Yeah.
people. And that righteousness to stop them, if you're in their sphere all the time, they've put you down low enough so you can't stand up because
Yeah.
they whip you back so hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Hey.
telling your brain that everything's in the right place at the right time, it just is. So when we start to feel that envy, when we start to feel that anger, you know, it just is. You
Which is
know,
radical acceptance again.
radical acceptance. I'm exactly where I need to be for my path.
Which is, you know, in one way, if you can look at, I had a friend talking the other day. He was really worried about his kids because he's an older parent, and he was going. And he realized, he goes, actually, everyone's being looked after in their own way by the universe, if you see it like that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's true. And sometimes we can overcare a little bit and get a bit too involved. And we can just, it's good to take a step back and go, ah, it's all okay.
Okay, I have got to go collect my little teddy bear.
Okay.
Good one.
Yeah, that was a nice one.
Pathological
Okay,
envy.
well, we're dealing with a bit of a not a really cheery subject, but it's cheery to like find ways to work around these things
Absolutely.
and look at different steps.
And how fascinating. My takeaway from the day was it is that pathological envious person's dopamine goes up, the cortisol plummets, which is
Right.
what allows them to be pathologically nasty to your face
Although then when,
without,
but then
them,
when
they
the
don't even realize
but then
it.
when the put down happens, depending on the different hormonal array of the person, the sadistic thing can make their cortisol drop, and so they're just relaxed after the thing. So when the person who just got hit and put down goes to say they're so calm that they can go, "What are you talking about?" Isn't that interesting? Anyway, interesting territory.
Okay. See you later, everyone. If you've
Have
got any
fun.
ideas for videos, let us know below.
Yeah.
Okay. Catch you later.